Okay, more of a shemesh on the pasuk v'Hashem holech lifneihem yomam v'amar anan lanchoisim aderach. Kadosh Baruch Hu went ahead of them to lead them with a pillar of cloud to guide them on the way. That was during the day. And at night, v'layla ba'amar eish lahayr lahem lalechas yomam v'layla. And at night, they had a pillar of fire to give them light so that they can go, so that they could travel day and night. Okay? Says the more of a shemesh. Again, what page for those who are just joining us? Resh Chaf Aleph. Okay, page Resh Chaf Aleph. Hashem holech lifneim yomam ba'admod anon lan chosim adarach v'layla ba'medesh yesh lirmoz bezeh. What's the remez in this? What's the idea of a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire? Kinei ha-mitzvos mechunim b'shem yom va'averos mechunim b'shem layla. Interesting. A mitzvah, a code word for a mitzvah, a nickname, right? Mechunim. A nickname, a code name for a mitzvah, you can call a mitzvah yom, because yom is light, yom is day. Hiner mitzvah, v'torah or. So a mitzvah is called yom. Averos are called laila. Umalamed osano akasov, she'im adam osa mitzvah, lo yachzik tov la'atzmo, she'asa osa kara'oi, u'kanachon. When a person does a mitzvah, shouldn't be so quick to say, wow, look how great I am for doing that mitzvah. Look how perfectly I performed that mitzvah. And that's true. Even if he feels like, I really did it this time. You know, sometimes we do mitzvahs and we're schlepping. But sometimes you do a mitzvah with a big cheshek. Right? With like a fiery avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. Right? Falpichin, yachzik ba'atzmo, sha'adayin lo asa b'shleimus. Again, we've seen this theme many times in the Mor Meshemesh. A Jew has to always be thirsty for more. You always have to be wanting to do better. That doesn't mean, God forbid, that we shouldn't celebrate our accomplishments. We should. But I should consider myself as if I could do better. Right? I put on tefillin today. Okay, but there's more kavanas to have when one puts on tefillin. I daven today, but there's better davening. I understood the Ketzos HaChoshen yesterday. Okay, great. But when you go over it again today with your Chavrusa, don't assume, I got it. Get it better. Understand it better. There's always room for growth and improvement in the Avodas Hashem. Ula hafech, but when it comes to an Avera, we have to take the opposite approach. Meaning, a person might want to say, well, if I'm not going to give myself so much credit for my mitzvah, so I probably shouldn't give myself so much credit / accountability for my averos. Right? Or if I'm going to hold myself very accountable for my averos, then I should get full credit for my mitzvos. So Or Meshemesh challenges us to what? To kind of split the difference. When it comes to mitzvos, don't be so quick to, again, give yourself credit as if you did a perfect job. Always look to improve. When it comes to averos, hold yourself that much more accountable. Ulehefech. Kisha'asa avera kala, when you even do a small avera, take the full accountability for it. By the mitzvah, don't be so quick to give yourself full credit. But by the avera, even if it's a small avera, don't fall into the trap of, well, it's my Rebbe's fault, it's my parents' fault, it's my chavrusa's fault, it's my roommate's fault, it's my spouse's fault, it's my child's fault, you know? It's very easy to point fingers or say, well, you know, it's a small avera, it's not such a big deal. And I didn't do it with, you know, so much energy, it was kind of more just a mistake. Treat yourself as if you did a big avera, uki'ilu asa b'chimum eish hayetzer v'cheshe gadol. And consider it, treat yourself as if you did the avera with like full strength, even if you didn't. And in this way, a person, again, by taking full accountability for my averos and always leaving room to grow in my mitzvos, right, that's how a person will continue to shrink his, you know, averos, and continue to increase his mitzvos. Val yedeza Yosef ometz, and through this he'll gain strength, lischazik es atzmo v'asiyas ha-mitzvos, to strengthen himself in the performance of mitzvos, lasos osam b'cheshkos yoyser l'shem shamayim, uveli shum p'niyah. By constantly fine-tuning his mitzvos, he'll try to do his mitzvos better and better, without any ulterior motive. And furthermore, when he takes his averos so seriously, yivrach min averos, he'll come to really be serious about his shortcomings. He'll hold himself accountable. Vayivar bo eish hakinah linkom ba'atzvo, and he'll almost like wage battle against himself. Al yedei sheyaseh tshuva al chata'av be'emes, by holding, again, if I want to do real tshuva, I have to first admit that I did something wrong in a real way. So by holding himself truly accountable, he'll come to do a sincere tshuva. Ki achet yigdal ve'enav, because the sin is significant in his eyes. It's big in his eyes. V'ish asher eile lo, hu haholech b'darchei Hashem u'metaken ma'asav kara'oi. And the person who lives like this is going to grow closer to Hashem and fixes his ways that need to be fixed. Okay? So let's just connect to the pasuk, and then Avi will take your comment. So how do we see that in the pasuk? The pasuk said, Hashem led them by day with a pillar of cloud, and Hashem led them by night with a pillar of fire. Ah, so look what our Rebbe says. Very sweet vart, very sharp. V'ze yesh lismoch ha-pasuk. V'Hashem holech lifneihem. Perish, what does that mean? Hashem went before them. Ha'ovdei Hashem asher somim Hashem l'neged einayim tamid. The person who walks with Hashem in front of him, shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid, the person who keeps a picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a perfect Rabbono Sho'olam in front of him. Right? If Hashem is holech lifneihem, if you live a life where you feel like you're walking in the presence of Hashem, so then yomam ba'amud anan. What do we say yom is? Yom is a code word for
mitzvah.
A mitzvah. So how do I look at my mitzvahs? My mitzvahs are ba'amud anan. My mitzvahs are what? Cloudy. They're not perfectly clear. They're a little cloudy. What does that mean? Perish. Sha'mitzvahs sha'osim sheheim b'chinas yom. The mitzvahs that I do, which is an aspect, an expression, a manifestation of the concept of yom, heimachzikim be'eneim sha'adayin yesh behem chashkus ka'anan. They're still a little bit darkened like a cloud. My mitzvahs could be a little bit more refined. They could be a little clearer. I daven today, but was my mind really clear or was my mind cloudy when I daven, when I said Shmoneh Esrei today? When I said Rafa'enu, I was thinking about my friend, Moshe Tzvi ben Esther, Shavar Fu Shalema. But when I said, I don't know, Yerushalayim, was I really davening for Yerushalayim? Was I so connected there as I should be? I was a little cloudy. So when it comes to mitzvahs, because I care about Hashem and because I believe that there's room to grow, to get closer and closer to an infinite God. So when it comes to my yom, when it comes to my mitzvos, ba'amud anan, I treat it as if, what? It's still a little bit cloudy. Machmas shemotzi en tamid chisaron ba'avodasim. I find a lack, a void. I find an imperfection in my avoda. Again, you have to be healthy about it. But I find that it's wanting, it's left wanting, there's room to grow. The laila, but when it comes to my laila, when it comes to my averos, ba'amud esh. What's up, Shat? Even if I did an accidental aver, but I, you know, if I accidentally, God forbid, if a person accidentally lights a fire, right, you get burned. If you accidentally light a fire where it doesn't belong, the house still gets burned to the ground. God forbid, oh, it was an accident. Okay, but the ramifications are real. So an avera, we treat it, what? Ba'amud esh, we treat it as fire, as real, perish. Sha'al averos sha'asu behem b'chinas laila, hu malei esh nakam atzur ba'atzmosav. He treats his averos, which are compared to laila, right, like a full fire that's raging inside of him and it has to be put out. It's dangerous. Mischazik lasos tshuva ki ilu aso b'chimam esh, right? And he treats himself again. He does tshuva as if I did an avera that was such a terrible avera. He holds himself so accountable in that way. Hagam shi avera katana, even though in truth it's a small avera. But in the Vera, in his mind, is like fire. It's so serious to him that he holds, right? All it takes is one little match to burn down an entire building. He sees an Avera like that. This little Avera is poison. It's so dangerous. Right? A drop of fire could spread, could kill. And therefore, he's machzik atzmo right. He's machzik atzmo l'gedoyle. He treats it as being very major. And when a person does this, Lalechas yomam v'layla, concludes the pasuk, then he'll be able to walk with Hashem with the right attitude with regard to yom, with regard to his mitzvos, and he'll walk with Hashem with regard to his layla. He'll have a proper approach to fixing his averos. Shal yedeza hu mitakein ma'isav, shemischazek v'asiyas ha-mitzvos, v'oseh tshuva al averos. In this way, he'll strengthen his mitzvos, he'll take his averos and the responsibility to do tshuva seriously, and he'll be a Jew who really walks with Hashem. Beautiful vart. Avi.
How do you take full accountability for your averos and say, even my small averos are such huge ones without, like, without hating yourself or
right.
wrapped with guilt?
Right, that's always the fear. Right? The double-edged sword of accountability is that if I really believe that my small avera is so damaging, right? So I can become so depressed by that. And that's why tshuva, that's why we have to really appreciate and believe, right? To appreciate and to believe in the gift of tshuva. Because without tshuva, you're right. But tshuva is the most awesome gift, that it gives us the ability to rewrite the script. We have to believe in that. Right? Now again, we have to believe in it and also understand that there's a real way to do tshuva. But if I do a real tshuva, I have to believe that not only does Hashem... You know, sometimes let's make a Ben Adam L'Chaver example. Right? You get into some uncomfortable situation with someone. And then you talk it out, you work it out, you know? And like, you're back on speaking terms again. But there's still like this lingering effect, right? Of like, it's not what it used to be. Like, we're still like a little bit awkward. Like, we're friendly, you know? We cleared it up, we spoke it out. But like, it's not as good as it once was. Certainly not better. Again, sometimes it can, but usually like, right? So with Hashem, it's the opposite. With Hashem, not only does Hashem not, you know, hold on to it, but Hashem's our relationship's actually better. Like, yeah, but man, I still feel weird. Like, I did that aver. Hashem's like, I don't see it at all. It's totally erased. I've totally moved past it. It's completely stricken from the record. And not only is our relationship as good as it once was, it's even better. That's the awesome power of tshuva. But you have to be very careful with this type of art, because we have to give ourselves, we have to celebrate our mitzvahs, right? And we have to, in a healthy way, grapple with our avera so we don't become totally despondent and depressed. Yeah, it's a delicate art. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Just for people across the board,
I think so.
Do like a bit of a rap.
You got it? Yeah, okay. We don't have to do it like the Mor B'Shemesh did it. Meaning, each person on his madrega has to be prepared to live this idea. You know? That in mitzvos I'm never satisfied. Again, that doesn't mean I don't appreciate what I did. I have to draw that distinction. I appreciate it. I celebrate what I did. But every time we finish a masechta, hadron alach. Let's do it again. Does that mean I didn't do a good job the first time? You did a good job the first time. Right? But when you enter into the space of godliness, right? So mitzvah goreres mitzvah. It creates a further enthusiasm to want to do better and to want to do more. It shouldn't be a pressure. It's not a pressure. It's not a pressure. It's a desire to want to be bigger and to want to do more. And with averos also, right? I don't want to become casual about my averos. Yiras Shamayim is a hard thing to come by. Real Yiras Shamayim, to feel deeply the weightiness of an avera. Most of us, you know, it's hard for us to really own it in that way. Okay, but that's what we're working on. Isaac, you had something to say.
Yeah. Certainly, Monday, the discussion how, like, why should you be more excited about doing a mitzvah than about tear someone down, but, like, if you're mad about a sin, you should be more, be more happy to do a mitzvah.
For sure. There's no question. The mitzvah is better, is greater, is better than the avera, and it deserves to be celebrated more than the avera, right? The schar, the tzad ha-tov is much bigger and stronger than the tzad hara. But okay, but afal pichin, we have to take the averas very, very seriously. Okay, let's turn to the piece Od Yomar Vayar Yisrael Asayad Hagdoyla, and it appears. Where is it? It's a small piece. I'm having a hard time finding it in your edition. Od B'Medrash Hanal. Hold on.
It's on Rishlam.
Al Pi Medrash Chazal. Where is it?
Rishlam. Od Yomar Vayar Yisrael Asayad. Yeah, very solid base.
Really? Why am I not seeing it?
On the right side.
I don't know if that's it, though.
Oh
yeah, that is it. Yeah, you're right. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Reish Lamed Beis. Okay, Reish Lamed Beis. Okay, Od Yomar Vayar Yisrael Asayat HaGedola V'yaminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo Oz Yashir Moshe V'nei Yisrael. Okay, this is interesting. This is a very important yisod. A lot of tzaddikim talk about this. Other tzaddikim talk about this as well. But it's a really important yisod. What's the relationship between Yediyas Hashem and Emunah Hashem? In other words, many of us feel that if I saw Hashem as openly as they saw Hashem, then of course it would be easy to serve Hashem. We're talking about people who saw open miracles, incredible open miracles. They're experiencing one right now, Kriyas Yam Suf. Zekeli va'anveyu. No? What does Zekeli va'anveyu mean? Zeh? What does Zeh mean? Right? This, whenever the Torah says Zeh, this, it's something like Chazal say, like Rashi says, Marin be'etzva, Zeh. You can almost point to it. God was so real to them, right, that they were able almost to point to Hashem. Now, Hashem doesn't have a body. Hashem, obviously, is not physical. Right? But that's how crystal clear Hashem was, even to the simplest Jew by the Yam Suf. And yet, the Pasuk says what? Vaya'aminu b'Hashem. They had emuna in Hashem. Is that called emuna? Do I have a muna in this post-it note that I'm holding in my hand? Do I have a muna in it? I know it. I know it to be true. Right? I know it to be true. I'm experiencing it. And muna, I would think of a muna more as like, I can't prove it, but I believe in it. I have faith in it. Right? It's more abstract. So there's like this cross section that's taking place by the Yam Suf. On the one hand, they see Hashem in a way that most of us have never been able to experience Hashem in such a tangible and real way. And at the same time, the Torah Dafka emphasizes Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo. Oz Yashir. What's the pshat?
Based on what you said, if we're coming from a standpoint that Amuna, you can't necessarily see it, it's a little complicated because you can see like results of, let's say, like you can't physically see Hashem.
Right.
But you can see Hashem in
okay. But there's but that right
actions that Hashem
again, does. So there's this correct. But again, they saw as much as one can experience Hashem, they were experiencing it. And yet it still refers to it as an Amunah Hashem. It was more than an Amunah Hashem. Is it that they committed to continue to believe in Hashem after? Wouldn't be so obvious. Like, what's the vart? So he says, "Roy l'sei slave al amru vayar Yisrael vayaminu." We need to think about this expression that the Jewish people saw and they believed. Right? Seeing is believing, but believing is not really like it's not the right word because we don't call it belief. Then I knowing. Seeing is knowing. I know it to be true. Halo ein amuna kazo amuna shlema. And furthermore, he asks the question almost the opposite direction. If they're experiencing a miracle, and they're like, oh, now I believe in God. You don't believe in God. You waited for God to display himself, and then you decided to jump on the bandwagon once it was revealed. Right, so is that really good Amunah? Amunah is what we're living right now. Amunah is we're living in a time of divine concealment, and it's a tough world, and it's a confusing world. And I say, I believe in Hashem. So someone comes and mocks me and says, what do you believe in God? Have you ever met God? You ever heard God? No, but I believe in God. All right, that's a courageous, that's an Amunah, that's real Amunah. But if Hashem is standing right there making open miracles, is that called faith? That's called Amunah? I don't think that's called Amunah. That's what the more of Hashemish is asking. So he explains in a very interesting way. V'anira b'zeh pi medrash chazal b'gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says, Mikan remez l'tchias hamesim min haTorah. This is very interesting. From the words Oz Yashir, sounds like it's sometime in the future, then we're going to sing this song, what we're singing right now. Yeah, but we're going to sing it again in the future. Right? When? Are you going to sing it next week? Says the Gemara, this is a hint to the fact that these Jews, even after they're dead, they're going to come back from the dead once again. And somewhere in the future, they're going to come back to this world and sing it again. This is a hint at Tchiyas HaMesim in the Torah. Oz Yashir. Then we will sing. Somewhere beyond this space that we're in right now. Right now we're singing it in this world. We're going to be zochet to sing it somewhere in the future by Tchiyas HaMesim. Through the revival, the revivification of the dead. Okay. Fascinating. A hint at Tchiyas HaMesim in the Torah. Sha'oz la'osid Yashir Moshe of B'nai Yisrael. That Moshe B'nai Yisrael, then somewhere in the future we'll sing. Okay. What? What's the pshat? What's going on here? So he explains so beautifully. Vine yadua ki ikar ha'amuna, hu shebechol hasagos shiasig ha'adam. And it fits the same theme as the first piece we learned. The essence of amuna is that with all of the hasagos that a person, don't say it, Mark, with all of the hasagos that a person has, clever, what does the word yasig mean? What does yasig mean? Right? To chase, acquire, right? Higia b'shliach, no? What does Rashi say? Rashi says, hisig, right? To overcome, to take, to grasp. So with all of the hasagos, with all that we grasp, with all that we understand, the essence of faith is that with everything that we think we understand about Hashem, min atzorech sheyeda al yedei hasaga zo, we need to know that as much as we think we figured out, oh yeah, now I get it. Oh, I know what the pasuk is saying. Oh, I know what the gemara is saying. Oh, I know what this mitzvah is about. Oh, I know how God runs the world. Oh, I know why my tefillah was answered or not answered. Oh, I know why this person suffers or doesn't suffer. With everything that we think we understand, and we're supposed to try to understand. Hashem gave us a brain. We're supposed to use it well. With everything that we think we understand, that we're supposed to understand, everything we truly grasp, all of our hasagos, in other words, everything that we've acquired, everything that we grasp, nonetheless, we need to know sha'adayin nishar lo b'ha'inyin ahu davar she'ein be'afshari shi'asigu. We have to know that there still remains, sha'adayin nishar lo, there remains for him something that is beyond his grasp. A Jew should never have the audacity to say, I get it. I got to figure it out. Because if you had it all figured out, then you'd be God. Yeah. Like the Rambam quotes, I think it's, maybe it's from Aristotle. Well, Tanya quotes this line, I think, right? No, maybe not. Maybe us. The Rambam, right? I think. If I would know him, I would be him. If I truly knew him, I would be him. If your mind could grasp Hashem, then you would be Hashem's equal. And obviously you can't. Lo machshavosai machshavoseicha. You can't grasp Hashem. So therefore what? At every moment, chaver, this is the yesod, at every moment of understanding, you have to at the same time say, I don't understand. I'm trying just remembering now. I was reading once in the Sefer Sifsei Chain, which is a hakdama to Hasidus and Kabbalah. It told the story that, I remember, two rabbis used to learn together, and they would learn to the point, like when they would learn something, they would obviously try very hard to understand it, but they would never stop learning on something that they understood. They would always dafka stop on something they don't understand. Because it's very dangerous to walk away from the Sefer saying, I got it. Because there's always more to get. So therefore, no matter how much we understand, we have to remind ourselves there's always a davar she'ein be'afshar yishyasigo. There's something that I can't grasp. And it's in that moment that I turn to what? For all of my hasaga, for all of my attainments and understanding, there has to always be something that's beyond that I'm still reaching for, that I'm striving for. And the most abstract, perhaps, thing for us to believe in is tchiyas hameisim. B'pnei asher built the efshari la'adam la'asigo, ulir oso ata bolam haza. It's something that we know, it's one of the core principles of our faith. It's the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim, and it's mamish wild. It's something beyond this world that we believe in. So, what's the pshat? So, Kriyas Yam Suf is the moment where what? Where we had the greatest what? The greatest hasaga, the greatest understanding, the greatest clarity. But it's impossible for a Jew to ever say that he has perfect clarity. So, at the moment of such clarity, what is the Oz Yashir Hintil? What did the Gemara say? Az Yashar hints to what? Remez le tchias ha-meisim en ha-Torah. Because at the moment that you think you got it the most, you have to grab onto something that's what? That I can't, my brain can't process. Because I can never trade in my emunah for my knowledge. And that's what it means. Vayar Yisrael, when the Jews saw so clearly, vayaminu b'Hashem, they needed a way to continue to believe in Hashem. Because you can't exchange your faith for knowledge. And that's, so how did they do that? How did they lean into their amuna at that moment of clarity? Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir says the Gemara, oh, a hint at Tchias HaMesim. You hear? Everyone chopping? You got it? No? So we'll say it again. We'll catch you up. All right? Why does the Pasuk say they believed in Hashem at the Yamsuf? They saw Hashem at the Yamsuf. They saw the hand of Hashem. And then it says right after Oz Yashir. So the pshat is, again, no matter how much you think you see God in this world, no matter how much you think you figured it out, no matter how much you think you understand, right? Even when Vayar, even when you can see Vayar Yisrael, when you see the Yad HaGadola, I mean, God doesn't have a hand, but it's describing a hand of God because it was so tangible, it was so real to them. Vayaminu b'Hashem. When you think you have it all figured out, realize that Amuna demands of you to always believe in something a little bit beyond yourself. And the way that they did that was singing Oz Yashir, which the Gemara says hints to a future song that they will sing in the times of Tchias HaMesim. So even when you have this whole world figured out, remind yourself there's something beyond this world. There's something that's futuristic, that's really beyond our mental grasp. Okay? But now, let's talk about the Man. Because the Man is one of the most important lessons in Amunah that a Jew could possibly get. Okay? So let's do one, we'll do one more piece, a big piece on the Man, an important piece on the Man. Okay? It's the, I don't know, fifth to last piece in the Parsha. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, hinini mamtir lachem. Who can find it? Hinini mamtir lachem. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, hinini mamtir lachem. I'm going to send down the Man from the heavens. Resh Lamites?
Yeah.
Okay. Perek Tes Zion. Pasuk Dalet. Hashem says to Moshe, Hinni Mamtir Lachem, I'm just reading the Pasuk, Lechem in Hashemayim, we read it yesterday. All right. I'm going to rain down Lechem in Hashemayim, bread from the heaven for you. V'yotza ha'am, and the people are going to go out. V'laktu dvar yom biyomo, and they're going to collect each day's portion on its day, Dvar Yom Biyomo. Leman anasenu hayelech besorasi imlo. To see if what? If people will follow the Torah. Who remembers? What did Rashi say? What does it mean to see if they'll follow the Torah? What did Rashi say? The halachos of the Man. Right? Torah Saman. The rules of the Man. What did the Ramban say? It's more of like a general test of one's faith, right? Can I live with Hashem? And if I can pass this test of trusting Hashem and following His lead, then hopefully I'll be able to follow His lead when it comes to the whole Torah. Okay? Let's see what our Rebbe, the Mor of Hashemesh, has to say. Chaver, this is a really important piece to think about when you choose a profession, when you figure out what it means to work, to make a living. Parnasa, Hishtadlus, Amuna. The Man is the ultimate lesson of living with Hashem and having your needs met. But it's not an easy thing for us to... Not an easy thing for us to do. Okay? So that's the first pasuk. Let's just read the next pasuk. Again, he quotes part of it on the page in front of us. V'haya b'yom ha-shishi, v'heichinu es asher yaviyu. But it'll be on the sixth day of the week. It'll be that on Friday. Heichinu es asher yaviyu. They shall prepare whatever they will bring in. It's an interesting expression. Heichinu, they should prepare es asher yaviyu, what they will bring in. V'haya mishne al asher yilketu yom yom. It'll be a double of what they collect every day. Because we're not going to go out and we're not going to collect on Shabbos. Okay. Says the Mor of Hashemesh. A whole number of questions. Yesh ledaktik. Let's ask. Ma ze dvar yom biyomo. Why does it say that what? That they're going to go out and they're going to collect dvar yom biyomo. What do you mean dvar yom biyomo? V'laktu dvar yom biyomo. Why doesn't it say hayelo lichtov? V'laktu yom biyomo. Why doesn't it say they collect day by day? Okay. V'gam ma ze leman anaseno hayelich besorasi imlo. What does it mean when the pasuk says the man was a test to see if we'll walk in the ways of the Torah? Halo ma Torah hayel hamaz. They didn't have the Torah yet. Hagam shirashi's al kaslav. Even though we already learned Rashi now several times. Shakai al Torah Haman, that it's talking about, will they follow the halachos of the Man? Adayin srichan anu lemodai, but we want to understand better, because it says, will they understand the Torah? It sounds like it's more general about the entirety of the Torah that they're going to receive. Gam zos yesh ledaktik, a further question, why does it refer to the double portion of Shabbos, ma lashon mishnah? Hayelo lomar v'haya kafu, why doesn't it use a more commonplace word for double? Because that's really the point, it's a double portion. Why use the word Mishnah? V'gam lashon yilketu yom yom einu muvan. Why does it say that they'll bring the man asher yilketu yom yom? Shahailo lichtov alasher laktu yom yom. Ki kayal avar. It's referring to what they did. Right? So why does it sound like it's almost like they will collect? Right? It's referring to that which they did collect. B'medida sa'omer yimtso shekvar laktu mishnah. When they measure out the omer, which is the amount that they're supposed to collect, when they measure it out, they will find shekvar laktu mishnah. They'll find that it's a double portion. Because no matter how much money you took, everyone walked away with an omer. Alkein ha'yelichtov asher laktu below yilketu. It should have said laktu, that which they did collect, not that which they will collect. Okay, again, very nuanced questions on the words, but when you see his theme, you'll see beautiful things. V'nira lefarish al pi remez kach. We can explain with the following understanding. Dihine vaday gam ata lo nitna Torah ella la ochle man. However, the Medrash says that the man, the eating of the man, was a prerequisite for Torah. The man was a very halakha food. I didn't read you the Lashon yesterday in the Ramban because we didn't have time. But the Ramban says essentially the man is an Or Elyon, is a heavenly light that takes on a physical form. The Ramban calls it the food of the angels. The Gemara calls it that. The Ramban says the man is the same food that the angels eat, and it's the same food that your soul, food in quotes, that your soul is sustained by in Olam Hava. It's spiritual food. The Gemara says when you ate the man, you didn't go to the bathroom. There was no psoles. It was entirely absorbed in your body. It was a wondrous food. Again, in the words of the Tzaddikim, it's the Ziv HaShechina, it's like Hashem's radiance in a Gashmias form. Whatever that means. Hey, look at stuff, yeah.
Is that what you're seeing on that? Or Matthias skipped certain steps.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Yeah. It was somehow immediately like transformed into this. Right. Right. And it was in some type of revealed, you know, some type of revealed way. Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good way to say it. So it's all a prerequisite for what? For a life of Torah. In other words, you can't go from being a slave in Mitzrayim, so unrefined, receiving the Torah. They needed to go through some type of physical healing, but really a spiritual diet, and that was the man. That's what the Medrash says. Lo nitna Torah el la'ochle man. The Torah was specifically given, was only given to people who ate man. Ratza lomar, ki mi sherotze lekabo olav ol Torah. What does that mean? Was it just that their body needed to be transformed through this magical food? What it means is that a person who wants to accept upon himself the yoke of Torah, if you want to be an authentic, full-fledged Torah Jew, tzarech liyos bal bitachon ba'Hashem, shelo lirdov achar parnasa kol hayom. If you're going to spend your whole life chasing the next dollar, you're not going to be the best Eved Hashem you can be. It's pasha. The Torah was given to the ochlei haman. If you want to be someone who has Torah in your life, you have to be someone who has trust in Hashem, not to chase your parnasa all yom. The man was very precise. You go out, you get your portion, done. You're not getting more, you're not getting less, you're getting what you deserve. You're getting what you're supposed to have. Rak mamait be'esek va'asok b'torah v'tvila. To be, like it says in Pirkei Avos, mamait be'esek, to limit, right? To work in a very precise measures one's business dealings, and to be Osek in Torah and Tefillah, and to spend the bulk of one's life, right, to try to make the most important focus of my day, the Torah moments of my day, the davening moments of my day. That's what matters. Ubavade kuchabrichu yazmin lo parnasaso b'chol yom v'yom. And when you remind yourself that God runs the world, and I'm not going to have more or less if I chase more, and again, this is a very, very hard sugya, because immediately there's a party that's pushing back, what about a shtadlis? Should I not get a job? Should I just sit and learn? God will provide for me. Is that realistic? Again, your interaction with Hashem will be in accordance with the authenticity of your bitachon. So if you really have absolute bitachon that God will provide you with the man, then yeah, then fine. Hashem will provide for you. Hashem will figure out how to get you the money. How does that work? Right? Again, if you're asking that question in that type of almost frustrated and cynical way, then it's obviously not your madriga. It's not for you. But to whatever degree a person leans into Hashem, Hashem provides for him. Hagam shenemar, and even though what the pasuk says, what in Chumash Devarim it says, uverach ticha b'chol asher ta'aseh, I will bless all that you do. So what do you see from here? You got to do. This is the pasuk, by the way, in Chumash for Eshtadlis. Okay, this pasuk right here, uverach ticha b'chol asher ta'aseh, I will bless all that you do. So you got to do. You can't just sit back and wait for miracles to happen. You have to do. But explained the Rebbe, Rav Muttal from the Shchiz. Shamati ha-perish me-harav ha-kadosh, Rav Mordechai from the Shchiz, Atzal. She'akimas svasav have maisa le'inyan malkus. Bevadai mida tova meruba. He's referring to a discussion in Masechah Sanhedrin Daf Samachai, where it says there are certain things that a person will be killed for, certain things that a person can get lashes for. One of the things that it discusses there is a magadif. What's a magadif? Anyone know what a magadif is? A person who is a blasphemer. A person who blasphemes, who speaks out against God. So the Gemara over there in Sanhedrin Samachai says a magadif can get malchus. Why can't a magadif get malchus? What action did he do? He only spoke. He spoke against God. We usually don't assume that dibor is a maisa. Says the Gemara, you know what his maisa was? Sha'akimas svasav have maisa. The twisting of his lips. Right? There was an action. It wasn't just words. Right? The movement of his lips to create those words. The twisting of his lips. That's what akima means. Akima svasav, the moving of his lips is considered an action enough to give him lashes. According to the opinion that a magadev can get lashes. So says, this is a beautiful part. So it says, Mordechai ibn Shchiz, so if moving your lips against God is considered an action enough that what? We're going to take a whip and we're going to give you 39 lashes. However, that's scary stuff. So what happens when I move my lips for God? What happens when I move my lips to learn a pasuk? Or I move my lips to share a Dvar Torah? Or I move my lips to give a compliment to a fellow Jew to give him chizuk? Or I move my lips to say a parak of Tehillim or to daven Shmona Esrei? Is that not also an action? So, what did the pasuk say? Hashem will bless all of your actions. True, on a certain level, that is the pasuk for olam hazadik actions. Get a job. Earn a parnasa. Come up with a business idea. You know? Figure it out. Choose a profession. But says Rav Mordechai ibn Shchiz, but this is also part of your profession. Moving your lips is also an action. And Hashem can bring bracha to that also. Bavadai mida tova meruba. Certainly, if you use your lips for good, then there's no question the reward will be as great. Sha'akima svasav b'torah have maisa l'inyan zeh. Then when I move my lips in Torah, that's also a maisa in this regard. Sheyakuyam bo v'erachticha b'chol asher ta'aseh. Hashem will bless you in all of your actions. Moving your lips to learn a tosos is an action. It's not just words. Right? Why don't you do something with your life? That's called doing. That's called doing. Learning Torah is doing. Davening is called doing. She is barich lecha parnasa yedeh akimas fasav b'toru v'tfila. That Hashem will bring bracha to your parnasa by davening. As much as you spend time figuring out how to run your business better, you should spend time davening that Hashem should bring you better success. You should close bigger deals. And so you have better clients. Right? Because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to guide it. Bashkacha Pratis, your success. Umemela, and therefore memela kisha adam osik b'torah lishma yoser. So the more lishma my Torah is, azaya batuach shia parnasaso yoser berevach. Again, the more authentic and real my learning is, the more pure of heart my davening is, the more success I'm going to have. And the more my Torah is really not just a class, it's not just a shir, it's not just an intellectual activity, but it's with the goal of really living with Hashem. And when I daven with dveikus and I cling to Hashem, so my parnasa becomes what? My parnasa becomes more expansive, more successful. Because I'm doing my part in this world. These are the things that a person reaps the benefits in this world. Not just you score points for the next world. Talmud Torah is on the top on the list. So learning has a real world, an Olam Haza dik. When I say real world, I mean Olam Haza. An Olam Haza impact. Ubavada yuchala adam lios batuach bazan. A person should trust this and rely on this. Shayide akima svasa betoru vitvila ba lo parnasaso. That your success in business is more dependent on what? On your davening and your learning than it is anything else. Now, there's a part of us that struggles with this for one very simple reason. Because I know people who don't learn and don't daven, and they're incredibly successful. And by successful, I mean financially successful. What's the pshat? They hardly daven, they hardly learn. So keep in mind, and I'm not, God forbid, playing God, and I'm not saying I understand, and I'm not, chas v'shalom, speaking bad about any Jew, but keep in mind, there is a concept that a person can reap the benefits of their olam hava in this world. And in other words, Hashem might say to this person, this guy barely davens, why does he get so much? Because maybe you know, his davening is being turned into kesef in this world, into a nice house, a nice car, and he's not going to have it in olam hava. That's a punishment. You understand? That's a punishment. He's reaping the benefits in this world, and he's losing out on his eternity. Maybe for the tzaddik who's davening and davening and davening and learning and learning and learning, Hashem says, I love this guy so much because his dedication, I don't want to give him a drop of that in this world. I'm going to sustain him with the bare minimum in this world. So you look at the Chavetz Chaim, you're like, oh, he has such a simple existence. He lived in such, you know, such a simple life. Why didn't the Chavetz Chaim have a nice big house and a fancy car? Why is there Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal? Why are these big tzaddikim, they lived so simply? Right? If they were such tzaddikim, so why was the words of the Morvish Shemesh not true? And the answer is they had everything that they needed. And they saved the bulk of it, right, for eternity. So don't assume that the guy, what do you mean, this guy barely does anything good. Maybe that little bit that he does good is actually the source of all of his success in this world. But maybe, unfortunately, he's cashing in his chips too early. Something to think about. So let's see it now in the Pesukim. Let's just end. Last paragraph. V'zeh perish ha-pasuk. So this is the pshat on the pasuk. Hinni mamtir lachem lechem min ha-shamayim. Hashem says, I'm going to send you your parnasa, literally like bread falling out of the sky. All right, is that how it works? Don't I have to get a job? Don't I need to make a living? Of course you do. But realize at the end of the day, whatever you're going to have is exactly what Hashem rains down upon you. And realize, what was his question? Why does it say, Devar Yom Biyomo? Why doesn't it just say Yom Biyomo? What's Devar Yom Biyomo? The thing each and every day? He says, Devar is a lashon of what? Of Dibur. Devar Yom Biyomo means, what's a lomer? Diburim Shelcha. Realize that your success, Yom Yom, is going to be dependent upon your diburim. My main koach as a human being is my power of speech. Do I use it for Torah? Do I use it for tefillah? What am I talking about? Am I talking about Tom Brady's retirement? Or am I talking about the ketzos? What do I talk about more? Over the course of the day, what am I going to talk about more? Today. Right? If you don't care about sports, so pick something else. What am I talking about? What is the bulk of my speech about? Speech is the defining quality of a human being. What am I talking about? Am I talking about important things, meaningful things? Am I saying positive words? Am I talking badly about people? So, Hashem says, I'm going to send down your parnasa in accordance with your diburim, in accordance with your words, yom yom. If you're speaking Torah, if you're davening, that's the parnasa that you're going to gather from your words. And the more authentic and refined and pure your Torah and Tefillah is, the more you're going to have what you need, the more you're going to have the success. V'zeu l'man anasenu hayelech b'torasi imlo. So now we understand the pasuk a little bit better. What does Hashem say? I'm testing you with the man to see what? If you walk in the ways of Torah or not, what does that mean? Ratzalomar. Im lo yelech b'torah lishma. Hashem says, I'm going to check your Torah. Are you just learning Torah as a means of like manipulating God to get parnasa? What do you really want? Do you really want Torah? And Hashem says, because you're so sincere about Torah, I'll take care of you. Or do you really want financial success and you're using the Torah to kind of trick God? Like, this is how I can get what I really want, which is more money. So Hashem says, I'm going to assess. Hayilech b'Torah si, is it my Torah? Is it the way that I intended the Torah to be used? Because if you're not using it Torah l'shma, if Torah is just a tool, lo yelo parnasa, v'yatzarach lirdof, then you're going to need to what? You're going to need to go chasing after your parnasa. I'm not going to make it easy for you to get your parnasa. Kamo kori baharim v'gvos. You're going to have to call out to the mountaintops. Right? With trachos rabot, all sorts of tircha b'shvil parnasa. Avalim yelech b'torasi. But if you do it in an authentic way, azay yilkod parnasaso midvarav mamish, then your words, dvar yom biyomo, your words will literally create your parnasa. Hashem will make it easy for you. That's what the Gemara says. For tzaddikim, the man fell right on their doorstep. For people who weren't as righteous, they have to go out into the field to collect the man. Interesting. In accordance with one's level. Yes?
I'm wondering, since technically everything we do has to be driven by a certain motivation, psychologically, like we have motivators that
sure.
are intrinsically, to a certain level, hedonistic. So what I'm wondering is when it's when you said that learn the Torah the way I intended from God's perspective,
right? Is it possible?
Like to what extent? To what can that limit to? For example, let's say someone wants to learn Torah because they want to love their life, or they just want to be a good person, right? Why is wanting money and learning Torah? Why does that lay outside of the circle of what is an acceptable motivator for learning Torah?
Right. I think it's again, if I really believe that my Torah learning equals money, that's already on a certain level, it's a high level of faith, right? Because the average person in the street says, what does reading a book have to do with making money? You want to make money, so go get a job, right? Start a business. So if I believe in any way, shape, or form, that opening a siddur, or opening a chumash, or opening a gemara somehow impacts my financial success, that's already a radical belief that we have. So I'm not saying that's not an acceptable level, right? But there are levels, and the more refined one is, right, when I'm doing it, again, ultimately for the Torah's sake, Torah lishma, for its sake or for God's sake, then that's, you know, that's the ultimate goal. But you're right, if I learn Torah to love my life, if I learn Torah to feel good about myself, that's okay, that's a level. If I learn Torah even for honor, the Gemara calls that a level. The only type of Torah that God doesn't want you to learn, according to the Gemara, as clarified by Tosfos, is what? When I weaponize Torah. When I use Torah, right, with the sole intent of putting you down. It's not about building me up. I want to build myself up. If I feel like a big shot because I know a lot of Torah, even though it's a little bit haughty, God says that's okay. For your own honor, if you're building your own honor through Torah, Hashem says I can handle that. But if you're using Torah to say, look, I know more than you, I'm better than you, I'm holier than you, and God says, don't abuse my Torah like that. That's a poisonous way to use the Torah. So there's levels, you're right.
I guess the main thing I'm wondering is like how would you go about even defining lishma?
Right.
Like
how do you define lishma?
That's the highest level.
Right. So a lot has been written about what is the definition of Torah lishma, right? Torah for its sake, for Hashem's sake. Again, what does that mean? But I guess the more I can kind of take myself out of the equation, which is a hard thing to do, the more I can really be mevatel and surrender myself to Hashem, and I make, like it says in Pirkei Avos, His will, my will. So the more I can refine that, the more I can work on that, the better. But you're right. We have to, again, everything has to be done in accordance with one's level. Okay, so just to finish the piece now. Vizeh perish. So that's the explanation of the second part of the pasuk, the second pasuk, really. V'haya b'yom hashishi v'hechino es asher yaviyo. It'll be on Friday, it'll be on Erev Shabbos, that you will prepare what they will bring. What does that mean? Ki yesh madrega sadikim gedolem, sheyesh ben bitachon gadol kol kach, al yedei torasam v'tfilasam. There are some tzadikim, and again, each of us has to tap into this in our own level. But there are some tzaddikim that are on such a lofty level and have such belief in Torah and Tefillah. Not that Torah and Tefillah helps my success, but to really believe that every single thing that I have has nothing to do with the business, has nothing to do with my worldly pursuits. There are some unique tzaddikim who literally believe that all that they have comes by way of their Torah and the Tefillah. Sheim yecholim lahachnis gam belibos bnei adam cheshek haTorah vaTefillah bitachon baHashem. That they're able to what? They're able to actually what? To be mashpia that onto others. Like the Gemara says that the whole world is sustained bishvil Chanina b'ni, because of Chanina ben Dosa. And Chanina ben Dosa himself The Gemara says he eats a kav, which is a measure, small measure of carobs from 1 week to the next. He had the same meal every day, right? And it's his hashpa, it's his belief in Hashem, it's his Torah, it's his tefillah that's bringing down blessing upon the whole world. People are making millions of dollars, and Rabbi Chanina, he's sitting with his Gemara, and he's got his little bucket of carobs that he uses to give himself just enough energy to sustain himself. Incredible level. Again, very, very lofty level of the ultimate tzaddikim. V'zeo v'haya b'yom ha-shishi. What is the concept of shishi? Shishi, we get to use our spheros chart for the first time, Chevra. All right, yasher kai. So we got the top three, right? Kesser, Chochma, and Bina, or sometimes Chochma, Bina, and Das. Right? And then we have the lower seven. Right? So Chesed, one. Gvura, two. Tiferes, three. Netzach, four. Hod, five. Yesod, six. Malchus, seven. And the lower seven emotional attributes, Yesod is six. Right, of the 7 days of the week. So that means Erev Shabbos is connected to Yesod. What's Yesod? In personalities, who is Yesod? Yosef, right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. So Yosef. Yosef is Yosef HaTzadik. So there will be people, V'haya b'yom ha-shishi, it'll be certain tzadikim, D'haynu madrega tzadik, HaGadol, HaNekra shishi. You know that some Chassid Shrevas get shishi. You know that? I don't know about that. It's like a Rebbe's thing. They get shishi on Shabbos. Rebbe's a tzaddik. It's a tzaddik. So they give the Rebbe shishi. By certain tzaddikim. Okay? Tzaddik yisod olam. That's right. Tzaddik is yisod olam. Tzaddik is connected yisod. Yeah, it all works out. You just got to stay in the game long enough to learn all the rules. Okay? So the tzaddik is shishi. Ki midas tzaddik ki madrega shishis mi midas chesed. It's the sixth one down from chesed. I'm so happy we have this chart now. Shmack. Thank you, Gedalia Aaron. Okay, so tzaddik is the mida shishis from counting from chesed. Zeh tzaddik yesh lo hachana kol kach b'avodas habore baruch hu, sheyuchal lilmod la'acher midas habitachon. Not only is he, what? A person who lives with bitachon, but the truth is when you see that he lives that way and it actually works, it has a hashpa on you. You go to the Chafetz Chaim's house and you see, right? And the Chavetz Chaim lived with such utter simplicity and was so happy. You wonder, why do I make myself so crazy? I want to be a little, I'm not the Chavetz Chaim, but I want to be a little bit more like the Chavetz Chaim. I want to be a little more simple. Right? So says the Pasuk, it'll be on Yom HaShishi. In other words, when you encounter the Tzaddik, then what happens? Ve'ichinu es asher yaviu. It's Mechin. It prepares you to be able to receive. And what does the Pasuk say? V'haya Mishnah, al esher yilketu yom yom. It's a double. It's a Mishnah from what you collected every day. But what else does the word Mishnah mean? It doesn't say kafel. It doesn't say double. Mishnah means what? What does it mean when we open up the Gemara and we get into a Mishnah? It's a teaching. Sheyuchal lilmod me'acherim le'acherim she'alem parnasa yidei Torah. The tzaddik, through his belief, through his actions, through his words, teaches people. He becomes a Mishnah. He becomes a teacher of what? Of Yilkadu Yom Biyomo. He teaches people what it means to live day by day. Ratzalomer she yilmodo sam b'nei adam shehema gamken yilkadu parnasasam yom yom. To realize that it's your daily efforts of what? Dvar Yom Biyomo. It's your diburim of Torah and Tefillah each day that really brings blessing into your life. So again, is this piece saying everyone should learn in Kollel? No, it's not saying everyone should learn in Kollel. Is this piece saying we should never try to make a living? That's not saying that either. But this piece is reminding us, though, and again, I love this word from Rav Mordechai of Dishchiz, "Uverachticha b'chol asher ta'aseh." There will be blessing in all that you do. Don't think that your worldly pursuits are your doing, and then your Torah and Tefillah is just like, I don't know, a shot in the dark. No. It's the words of Torah and Tefillah that pass through you that, again, that's your real action, that's your doing. That's where the real bracha comes from. Because of our limited bitachon, so we have to fake it till we make it. We're not open. Most of us are not worthy of seeing the miracle of I daven and I get money. That would be miraculous. So I have to have something to cover it up. So how do I cover it up? I get a job and I sign a contract and I have a paycheck, or I start a business and, you know, and the clients are coming in, the money's coming in. So that's all just a cover up. Right, that's a worldly presentation of the truth of what's really happening, which is what? That my Torah and my tefillah is bringing bracha into my life. And when I attach myself to tzaddikim who live that way, it makes me want to live a little bit more that way. It doesn't mean that I'm gonna, you know, quit my job and sit in the base medrash all day. It would be irresponsible and unrealistic, because if your Torah is not lishma, if your bitachon's not real, right? Like Levi was saying, if you're not, you have to find the level that's appropriate for you, that makes sense for you. But when you find the level that's appropriate for you, right, and then you start to continue to refine it and refine it and refine it, so each day you start to realize divar yom biyomo, that each day it's the diburim of the day that are bringing bracha into my life. Okay, so chavra, three incredible Torahs today. Number one, right, to walk by the pillar of cloud when it comes to day, when it comes to mitzvos. We should always see our mitzvos as being a little bit cloudy. They can always be a little bit more refined, and to hold ourselves accountable for our averos like an eish. Number two, no matter how much you understand God and understand Torah and you think you have it all figured out, make sure that vayaminu ba'Hashem, it shouldn't be that my hasaga destroys my emunah. There always has to be something beyond, like tchias emesim. And lastly, to understand that again, that the secret of all of our physical success in this world is really through the diburim of Torah and tefillah. And to realize that this is a real action. When we talk Torah, when we dive in words of tefillah, that's what makes it happen. I'll just end. Rabbi Elia Lopian, I may have told this to you guys in the past, at least some of you. Rabbi Elia Lopian once said, he said, to make tefillah more real, think about it. If someone came over to you, imagine if someone came over to you, you know, right now, and said, Sam, did you go to the doctor this morning? Right? So I would hope, again, we're not so deep into the day, I would hope that if you had a doctor's appointment this morning, you would remember. You'd be able to say, yes, Moshe Tzvi, I went to the doctor this morning. Right? If I say, Aaron, did you eat breakfast this morning? Did you have anything to eat today? I would hope you'd be able to remember what you ate today. Right? Let's say a person has a job. They come home at the end of the day. Right? You say to the person, Ozzy, did you go to work today? I'd hope you'd be able to remember that you went to work today. Right? I'd hope so. All of a sudden, you call someone over. Right? I stop you at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I say, by the way, this morning in Shmon Esrei, did you say Rafa'inu? So what are you going to say? Now, if you were davening for a particular person and you were really focused on Rafa'inu, maybe you'll remember it. But more often than not, Chevra, if I ask you, yesterday in Mincha, did you say Baruch Aleinu? You remember it? It's crystal clear in your mind? Now again, maybe, if you were really davening and locked in, perhaps. If you ask me if I said Baruch Aleinu in Mincha yesterday, I'll say yes, but I'm not really, like, I don't remember it, but I have no reason to believe that I skipped it, so yeah, I probably said it. So Elia Lopian, the great Mashkiach, used to say, realize Baruch Aleinu is going to work. Rifa'inu is going to the doctor. The same way that a person, when you experience going to the doctor, that's like a real experience. You remember that. I was at the doctor today. Of course I remember. Right? It would be weird if I like forgot that. So my brachos and Shmona Esrei should be real. I'm going to work. Atachonin la'adam das. Right? Did you go to school today? Did you enrich your mind today? If I said atachonin in a real way, then I asked Hashem to open my mind. So then, yes, I educated myself today. That's what atachonin is. That's what Rifa'inu is. That's what Baruch Aleinu is. Right? So the tefillah, the words that we're davening, have to become real to us. And the learning that we're doing, we have to believe that is the ticket to bring bracha into our life. Okay, we should be zochah to live these teachings.
Shkoyach.
Shkoyach. Shkoyach.